Attention all small biz owners. At the UPS store, you can count on us to handle your packages with care. With our certified packing experts, your packages are properly packed and protected. And with our pack and ship guarantee, when we pack it and ship it, we guarantee it. Because your items arrive safe or you'll be reimbursed. Visit the upsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Come into your local store today.
I'm hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers, eating fresh shrubs.
Welcome to episode 115 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture preparedness and practical living. And remember, PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. I can't believe we're on episode 115 now.
Yeah, we definitely crossed a few, a few thresholds along the way.
Yeah.
Maybe we can talk about that a little bit. Hey, never forget, y'all, this episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Also, Heaven's Harvest, y'all, 10% off with promo code PERMA. All your preparedness needs over there, at least some of them. I'm going to talk about some of that stuff today as far as preparedness needs. And what I found out this weekend, we'll talk about that under the farm news. And don't forget, y'all, you can tip a pimp on the Fountain app, where you can handle all your podcasts over there. And if you'd like to drop some sets to a PIMP, you know where to go. Every time, I can't say that anymore without thinking about that little boy. When we finally get a collage made for this thing, I can't wait to get him in there, man. He just cracks me up every time I think of tip a pimp. All right, y'all. Well, we're changing up a few things today. We don't have anything from Pastor Lon, but check this out. We got a new tip of the day, and it's coming from somebody
Eric
soon.
Here, and this is your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip is about gratitude. As humans, we are naturally wired towards negativity, largely for our own survival. So we must practice to create that positive mindset. And research has shown that practicing gratitude is one of the most effective ways to make that happen. So a real simple method that I've been using for several months now is at the end of the day, you're going to write down three things. One, something you are grateful for, and it's really important to be as specific as possible and to visualize it as you're writing it down. Number two, something that went well today and why it went well. And three, a person you are grateful for and why you chose them. I hope this helps you towards that positive mindset and a life of abundance. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. And for remote permaculture design and consultation services, ericsider.com.
That's my dog. Yeah, so, I mean, Eric's clearly talking about me. And yeah, I mean, we've been getting kind of dark as of late. And that's one thing we talked about in the last podcast that we're really going to start working on. I'm working on a number of things, but you know, one of many things I love about Eric is that he is never the same person anytime I talk to him. There is something monumental changing in his mindset and how he goes about things, what he's learning, what he's doing to his body. Like we talked about this whole fasting thing, and I know he's doing his version of it. And he's the consummate researcher on so many different levels where he's able to say, hey, check this out, look at this. And he always sends you something. There's never anything he sends me where I'm thinking, okay, you know, you got those people out there, those friends that you may blow off because they just send you whatever and you're like, I just don't have
nonsense.
Time. Right. But when he sends me something, I know for sure it is worth checking out. So, and honestly, what he said there, where you write down at the end of the day, I got this regimented schedule. I'm going to start doing that, where you write down what you're really thankful at the end of the day and be very specific. I'm going to give that a shot. So folks, what I'm getting at here, the tip of the day is going to be handled by Eric for a whole bunch of reasons. It's the same reason we have Pastor Lon, which, by the way, we're not going to have him on today. I got some signals crossed and I got with him late, so that's not going to happen. But it's best that we get viewpoints from multiple different places and people. That's why we've been doing the interview at least one day a week on Wednesday, and right. we're kicking that up.
You want to say who's coming up this week, this Wednesday?
Drop it on them.
Perry Hill Farms.
Bam! Looking forward to that. Yeah. Those are some really awesome people, and you know what I really dig about what's coming up is that I know so many people in this space, and they're doing incredible things, but maybe YouTube has suppressed them, or maybe you don't, or maybe you just haven't heard of them yet.
Yeah.
And there's so many awesome folks out there, and that's what I'm hoping to do with this platform. That's what I love about this podcast game, and I'm going to talk about another podcast coming up here in a minute, is that unlike terrestrial radio, where it was the most cutthroat thing in the world when I was doing it, folks, because nobody wants to give the next guy a handout or a help up.
Right.
Or they will suppress you. Or I was a constant guest when I was doing it before I became a host. And it got to this little possessive thing where, like, oh, I can't believe you went on that show and dropped that news.
Oh, like you were a specific guest.
Right. Yeah. And so there's this idiotic competition that happens between them that does not exist in the podcast world now. It does to a certain extent.
To an extent, yeah.
But in the YouTube world, it's really bad where you have these enclaves of people where they have their own little...
I can kind of understand that now. I can kind of understand that because you don't know... I mean, you just don't know how some of these people are at the beginning. You know what I mean? How many times a week do we get hit up about people wanting us to promote whatever it is that they have?
Oh, I got that. Yeah, right. But there's some others out there. There's some YouTube channels that have a long, long list. They just haven't gotten any traction, but they're doing fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
And those are the people, like with Perry Hill Homestead. I don't want to
Perry Hill Farms.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, that's also a homestead.
That's
but
the name
of
their channel.
I know. But Perry Hill Farms, you want to go check them out. And I'm going to tell you to check out some other things, but that's one thing I love about the podcast game is that podcasters will actually interview other podcasters. And
Because that's how they got their start, most likely.
Yeah, but many of them kind of forget. It's the same thing with all these other things. Somebody gave somebody their start, but then as they go up as they climb, they tend to forget, oh, somebody helped me out.
Right.
And so it's really, if they got a great story or they're doing something, I'm looking for those people, and I love to have them on. So I'm really looking forward to all the people we have lined up. We have Perry Hill Farm coming up. We got Eric Sider, of course. And then we got some other folks. Got a lot of great feedback from having Tony on the show.
Oh, yeah. People are still commenting on that episode.
Yeah, I mean, they love the fact that he kind of laid himself bare, and it doesn't hurt also that he is a podcaster. He knows, and he's a really good storyteller.
Right.
So it was really awesome to have him on there. But yeah, Eric's going to start doing the tip of the day because this thing is less about what's coming out of us than getting really awesome viewpoints from other people. I know that Eric is going to do a fantastic job, just like Pastor Lon does on his part.
Yep.
So thanks, Eric. We're going to jump right into farm news. Well, we got a lot to cover here. There was a guy that reached out to me. His name was Little Wayne, Link Wayne.
You know, when I was searching for his music, Lil Wayne kept popping up too.
No, it's Link, L-I-N-C. And I listened to one of his videos and he did not sound like I thought he would. The dude plays three slides at the same time.
I'll link the video down below.
I'll tell you what, if all Christian music sounded like this or sounded like Pastor Lon's son, that's all I'd listen to.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. So we were trying to, you had some technical problems trying
right.
to get it played.
Every
on
time
there.
I tried to like record the song and then put it on the soundboard or whatever, it just recorded very, very low. I don't know what was going on with that, but maybe, I don't know. We can get in contact with him, though. He left his contact information.
Yeah,
so.
He mailed this CD, and I went and checked it out, and I was like, man, I've only listened to that one song, but I was like,
I don't even have a way to play a CD.
Dude, yeah, I'll have to work that one out. I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, we don't have any computers where you can stick that in, but you can access a lot of it, but it's L-I-N-C, Wayne, and the song I heard.
Well, Link Wayne, L-I-N-C-W-A-Y-N-E, is all one word. So if you go to Spotify or something like that and try to search his music, you have to make it all one word or else you won't find it. Probably because it's Christian music.
It's definitely my style. It's like a bluesy Christian music. I never even heard anything like this before, and I thought it was fantastic.
And Dad's song, the song that Dad's referring to is Burdens. So if you go to YouTube and type in LINCWAYNE, Link Wayne, Burdens, you'll pull up the song
Dad's talking about. I just thought it was a fantastic song. Look forward to checking out the rest of it. All right, another person that reached out, or actually I reached out to them. We got an interview with them coming up probably next week. I can't remember exactly where everybody is in the queue. We might have to start putting these bonus episodes maybe a little more frequently than we do, because I'm really trying to make it. We're going to kind of lean away from YouTube a little bit.
You know, I was thinking a good day to upload an extra episode would be on the weekend. Because if you go, like, if you think about it, on the weekend, nobody's uploading podcasts, and there's nothing really, there's not much really to listen to over the weekend unless you have a rerun.
That's really not a bad idea. And I'm not big on reruns. I'm not a big fan. Nah. I've never been. I don't know. It depends on the podcast. It depends, but by and large, the only show I've ever listened to, and I told Tony about it three times, was that one of where they were going after the gold, man. And I'm just, I'm like, dude, that is just a harrowing, awesome, not harrowing so much, but it was really an awesome story.
Yeah.
So Dense Run, what was it? The Gold of Dense Run.
Right. If you go to your podcast player and type in Gold of Dense Run, you'll see Tony's podcast pop up. That's a really cool episode.
So there's some treasure I want to go after too.
Yeah.
And I kind of talked to Tony about it offline, and I'm going to do some research in it. I'm not going to tell anybody what it is just yet, but I think it would be awesome to actually, because it's not like we got to go actually looking for it. We know where it is.
Yeah.
And we know where several of them are, and it's just a matter of knocking out a few. I don't want to go too much further than that, but anyway.
Yeah, we're going to go get knocked off, Dad.
Yeah. Somebody's going to be, you know, waterboarding us trying to figure this stuff out. So speaking of podcasts, there's a new one out there. It's called Fearless Podcast, and it's coming from the Texas Boys. Now, like us, they've been largely suppressed on YouTube. I mean, every bit as suppressed as we are. I mean, son, we had a whopping 5 subscribers today. So... It's not so much. So that's where we're going to kind of lean away. We're going to keep doing on YouTube what we do, which is more of a how-to, and then leaning more into the podcast. And it's not that I don't like doing YouTube or the how-to. It's like you feel like you're spinning your wheels, because I'm trying to evangelize. Trust me, YouTube ain't paying us nothing. There's YouTubers out there making money, but we ain't one of them.
No, not from YouTube.
No, we ain't one of them.
Y'all would be disappointed that y'all watch us with as little as we make from YouTube.
Right, exactly. You'd think, well, why are you putting all this effort into it? Well, we're going to kind of lean off a little bit and do videos less. It's not because we're running out of content. That's definitely not the case. It's you just don't feel like you're making the impact anymore, because they got you in no man's land. So we're going to try to do more. Well, why don't you tell them what kind of videos we're going to try to do more of?
Like more, I guess, cinematic videos, or more more effort and intent put into it. Try to keep your attention a little bit longer. You know, not to just do one scene for an extended period of time, and make it more of like a entertaining, fun video to watch.
We'll try to do more of that, but it means we're going to be able to do it less, you know, frequently. But
I mean, before when we would do videos, we would just film exactly what we were doing for the most part. Now we're doing videos, we're still doing like that similar method, but we're taking time to plan out the actual filming aspect as well.
Well, it's like he said in the Fearless Podcast, you know, like I said, the Texas Boys got a podcast out there called the Fearless Podcast, and they just did their first episode. So go check them out. Give them some love.
Yeah.
And they're in exactly the same place as us. But he said something in that first inaugural podcast that really said it all. And he's absolutely right. And I was talking to you about it today when we were doing some stuff. And that is, if you're on the hard right, YouTube will promote you. Yep. If you're on, for the most part, if you're on the hard left, same exact thing. The thing that YouTube and the powers that shouldn't be can't have are the people out there that say, look, it's not a red state, it's not a blue state, it's the state against you. Those are the voices they have to suppress most. And worse yet, when it's somebody like me who's a Christian American heterosexual pro-gun liberty-minded person of color. Yeah, I'm going to say that. If I am the worst, I'm the worst thing they could ever hope for, because now all of a sudden I'm putting out in the ether, oh shoot, I'm not on the plantation. I'm not on the left or the right. If you're with the Constitution, I'm with you. And they can't have that.
Yeah.
They can't have people thinking that it's just some false left-right paradigm. So that's why they're going to do the best they can to try to suppress this, but we're going to still work as hard as we can to get the word out. But yeah, like I said, Fearless Podcast, go check them out.
So, you know what's interesting? We don't get suppressed on YouTube. I mean, not YouTube, Instagram.
Not yet.
Well, I mean, it's just, it's funny that we don't, like, our most suppressed, like, post ever on Instagram was a post of, like, the pigs, those pigs a while back. Was it Pork and Bessie? Is that what you called them? Eating a strawberry cake. That was the most suppressed. They put a warning on it and everything.
Well, now,
but Instagram is owned by Facebook and all that. You would think that it would be highly suppressed, and we haven't had any fact checks. We haven't had any kind of anything on.
Well, that. It's funny because that same video, we did a YouTube version of it where I was talking about the Canadian wildfires. Well, they just absolutely demonetized that on YouTube.
Oh, and yeah, we got so many more views. We got multiple times the views on Instagram than we did on YouTube. With
right,
that video.
So YouTube, it's weighted, you know? I mean, and we're at other platforms as well. I guess we're still on Rumble. Rumble's been having some problems, but Brighteon has been on point. I mean,
Rumble gets automatically uploaded. Like, we automatically get uploaded to Rumble as a video comes out.
Right, but there's a lot of things with Rumble that seems weighted as well. So it's all, we're just going to have to do the best we can out there, y'all. The news you get for free is worth exactly what you didn't pay for it. And the same thing with all the other things they promote. You know, it may have good cinematography and might even tell a good story, but is it something you can use?
Yeah.
I mean, is it something, especially in these times? And speaking of the times, I'm going to go straight into it in terms of farm news. So I went to Sam's Club the other day. A little while back, you heard me talk about that India, and I had no idea at the time, was responsible for 40% of the rice that's produced. Now, as I understand it, a fair piece of that is basmati. Well, I've been really paying attention. In fact, I think I did a few shorts. It might have even been on Patreon where we put them. But I'd go to Sam's Club every once in a while and go look at the cost of 50 pounds of rice.
Right.
And I'm talking white rice. They got basmati, they got jasmine. White rice is, if I'm going to eat white rice, 9 times out of 10, I'm talking just plain Jane white rice. I'm using that mostly for preparedness reasons. Now, you want some good tasting rice, I'm going to go with the other ones, the basmati, jasmine.
Yeah.
Some of that, I mean, off the beaten path kind of rice. You can't even, in fact, in Asian countries.
Dad ain't eating rice.
Well, I will if it's fried. I'll eat some fried rice. Yeah. Check this out. Go in there. This is ever since we did that program, and I think it was the last program where we talked about what happened in India. Now, check this out. I went into Sam's Club, even got video. I was going to do a video of it, but I couldn't bring myself to finish it because there's so much gratuitous nonsense of somebody walking through a store talking about the prices as if you don't go yourself to find out. So I took this video, and then I didn't actually do anything with it. But literally, that rice went from $19 to $26 in a month and a half.
Yeah.
19 to 26. And then, like I told your mom, because every time I go in there, I look at the rice prices. It's the cheapest way to put back food. And it keeps forever and a day. So it went, check this out. It went literally, since we've lived here in North Carolina for over 4 years, it went from 16 to 26 in 4 years. But in just the last month and a half, it went from 19, which was higher because last time I looked, I mean, I'm talking a month and a half.
I remember when I was young, it was $8.
Yeah.
It was $8 for a 50-pound bag.
Yeah, it was cheap. Yeah. It was very cheap. So it's gone up, but considerably. And I will say this, folks, I'm just going to tell you straight up. At $26 for 50 pounds, it's still a bargain.
Yeah. You know who won't be affected by it? is that Asian joint up the road for at
that's right.
Yeah, they won't be affected because I bet they're not getting their rice from India.
Yeah,
because they're more racist than anybody else on the earth.
Well, man, I know this much. These guys in there, they during COVID, they weren't missing anything.
Nope.
Everybody was talking about shortages. They had everything. And at first, I was like, man, do I want to tell everybody about this?
They have a complete ecosystem in there.
I don't know where they were getting their stuff in. There was not one thing missing off that shelf. I'm talking... Well, all the other grocery stores were out of this, out of that. There was not one thing for meat, and they sell it all in there. I mean, they got entire ecosystems up in that place in the live fish cage, man. They didn't miss anything, and I was like, okay, this is where I'm going. Plus, they got some interesting stuff to eat. But the point back to the rice, folks, I'm going to take Eric's advice. I'm going to take some of mine as well. Look, I mean, for crying out loud, and. Here's a rice that's affected as basmati. It didn't go up at all. But white rice, I was talking about Chef, I was talking with Chef Keith Snow. I interviewed him a while back. Harvest Eating. Go check him out. Real good podcast, too. I was texting him back, and I was like, I don't even get this, man. It went literally from $19 to $26 in a month and a half. And they're telling me there ain't no inflation. Folks, I was going to do this podcast almost exclusively about the things you can be doing right now that are a better store of your money than just leaving it in a bank. Okay, do you need brakes on your car? Could you use some tires?
Yeah.
Maybe you need some food to put back. Because I got a feeling many of us are going to be eating our stores at this rate. I mean, this stuff is getting crazy. So anyway, that's all I really wanted to cover on that part. I'd kind of teased out at the last episode that your mom and I were going to a place to go do some experimental treatment. And it's a scalar wave place. I heard about it, heard Dr. Carrie Maddie talk about it, who I respect, and a number of others had talked about. And I was like, I don't know, man. Let's go in here. So Saturday, your mom and I went over here. Now she's dealing with, she's a vaccine. Look, I'm just going to tell you straight. She's a vaccine injury from years ago, and courtesy of the U.S. Army, and they don't want to own it, but that's where it came from. Anyway, she deals with side effects because of it, and we're working on finding ways to chelate this crap out of her, because what people don't realize is when you went to the Middle East, a lot of us, they shot you up with a bunch of experimental crap, and it happened to just about every soldier that went over there. Now, different cocktails for different people, but they all hit us up. So anyway, she's been dealing with stuff ever since that day. So we go try this scalar wave place, and I'll be honest with you. I didn't know what to think, and it's not cheap. So we went in there for 3 hours on Saturday, and I'm thinking, okay, do I really – I kind of looked at it online and figured, okay, well, I don't know about this, man. It looks like a bunch of TV screens. You're sitting in these recliners, and it has this weird almost like alien writing on these things, and it just kind of flashes through. Now, what it's supposed to do, I don't know what it does exactly. All I know is when I went in there, I did some Wim Hof breathing. I'm laying in this chair. I'm already tired anyway. So I do some Wim Hof breathing, and then I go out for a little while. Then I come to, and then the 3 hours are up. And so I'm asking your mom, I'm like, okay, do you feel any different? Because at the time, I didn't. I was like, okay, well, they got me on this one. I won't be back. And then lo and behold, she tells me, and then I didn't notice it at first, but both of us were so chilled. In fact, she said that's the most relaxed she has been since having surgery and was on drugs after surgery, which is an odd thing to hear someone say. So at first she was like, she didn't know what to make of it. Like she had this tingling in her feet. And then all of a sudden, I'll be honest with you, some of the ailments she had, and I'm not going to go into any great detail, but some of the ailments she had basically receded. Wow. And
with just the one treatment.
Just the one treatment. So we're going to go back. We'll have her do it. For me, what I noticed was I was way more chilled. The next day when I got up, I didn't do anything different in my routine. My brain cognition was on another level. It really was. Clearer than normal. It's like on another level. So as far as what it is scalar wave technology. You're sitting, in a nutshell, you're sitting in a recliner. They got these TV screens around you, and I'm thinking, okay, man, what kind of new age garbage is this? And then I said, okay, I'm just going to give it a shot. And I got to be honest, I felt improvement in just how my brain processes things. Now, some you got to go for additional treatments, and nobody knows exactly how much. As we were leaving, there was this lady. She said, well, I'm about to turn 70, and she was showing us her hair. She goes there regularly. She says, okay, you see all this gray hair on the tips? People are paying money for this. Mine's actually turning brown. And she pulled up her hair and showed us.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I don't know what's going on, but my hair is – I'm getting my old hair color back again, which is brown. And so she pulled up her hair, and I was like, wow, nobody dyes their hair that way. So I know right. She wasn't just lying about
like
it.
Like she just dyed the roots.
Yeah, yeah. So
a different color.
She's like so I'm like, okay, I've heard. And like I said, Dr. Carrie, she was in that plane crash where they tried to kill her and her boyfriend
mm-hmm.
Because of speaking out on certain things. And apparently her healing was off the charts. Look, folks, I'm not giving a straight-up endorsement, but I told you I'd let you know if it was a scam. You know I got no problem telling you that. Right now, we're seeing some seriously positive stuff, so we're going to go back, get your mom some additional treatment, and we're going to see how that goes. So I want to let y'all know, and apparently there's a bunch of places throughout the country they got. Just look up Scalar Wave. I don't have the exact name of that place, but it's Scalar Wave whatever.
Okay.
And I'm seeing people in there, man. I'm looking around me like, dude, did I get mixed up in some kind of cult? What's going on here?
It still might be a cult. But it might work, but it still might be a cult.
No, I mean, I'm looking, but there wasn't anything freaky. They said it's just the technology. They're using these screens to do something with the scalar wave. Some doctor, I don't know, Tony Robbins goes on about it. A number of others go on about it. And I was like, eh, let me try it, man. It wouldn't be the first time some high-level scams out there.
Yeah, it could be.
But I'm pretty impressed with it so far. So other farm news, working on my compost recipe, y'all, and I mean it. So one thing that I've done, and I'm going to say it out here right now, I haven't yet done the experiment, not to this extent, is that I'm using spent mushroom blocks as part of my carbon in this thing. Part of it was actually I thought I had the idea, and then you came back from a trip you went on and said other people were already doing this sort of thing.
Right, yeah, there's some people who make their compost just from spent mushroom blocks after they've aged for 2 years.
Yeah, I don't think it needs to go that long. In fact, after 6 months, your compost is really not doing...
I'm not saying it's the correct way. I'm just saying that's how they do it.
Yeah, you got about a... 6 month window on a particular batch where you really ought to do something with it. And, you know, because the life in there needs the stuff in that compost to sustain itself. So unless you get it into a new medium, well, it's just not going to sit there forever. It's going to, you know, run out of all of your soil food web is going to run out of stuff to eat. But I tried it in this one. So, you know, in the recipe I'm using right now, it's a wide variety of materials, folks, and I can't stress that enough, because your different fungus and bacteria and all these different things, you want as diverse a pile as possible. So if you can get multiple forms of manure, go with it, but make sure you dry it out first. You don't want it in an anaerobic state. Also, your carbon. So, okay, what am I using? Well, I get some stuff from the woods. I get some leaves out there. There's also some great fungus on that because I'm looking for it. I'm getting some very, very aged wood chips that have been sitting there forever and a day, which is almost practically compost already.
Yeah.
Use some of that. Use some straw. Use some bedding. Using all this different stuff. But I was thinking, okay, these mushroom blocks, I can't go too heavy because it's a combination. I asked the guy that I got it from. He's in the mushroom business. He'll sell you a whole truckload of this stuff for like 50, 60 bucks, something like that. I think it's 50 bucks. I don't need quite that much. And plus, you want to be really, really careful if you do this, folks, because there's a fair amount of sawdust. You want to make sure you break those blocks up.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a lot of sawdust in there. You don't want to break it up so fine to where air can't get into your pile, which is going to make it go anaerobic. You want to be really, really careful about that stuff. So that's the new thing I'm doing in the compost right now, and we're off and running. So before we get into the bad...
Oh, hold on. I got farm news.
Okay. Well, all right. Go ahead, son.
Yeah. Just did a consultation down in South Carolina this weekend, and a guy named Chris has a Dexter bull for sale. He's the one I did the consultation for. It's 3/4 Dexter, 1/4 Jersey, and he's 2 years old. So if you're interested in that bull, contact me and I'll put you in contact with him. Yeah. So if you're also, if you're needing a consultation, then email me at permapasturesfarm@gmail.com. Same email for the bull as well.
All right, y'all. Don't forget Kentucky Sustainable Living, October 28th and 29th. We got some other stuff coming up too. I'll let you know about that in the future. So with that said, y'all, we're going to get into the bad news, good news, and we're going to try to do, I'm not even going to get the worst of the bad news anymore. I'm just going to get the cream of the crap. Okay. When it comes to bad news. So here's my bad news. And for every one bad news, we're going to give you two good. Shocking photos lay bare New York City's migrant crisis. Excuse me. Families bust up from the border sleep rough on the Manhattan streets. Now, if you look at this article, this is coming out from the Daily Mail. They are literally stacked up on these sidewalks like cordwood. I mean, it looks like some places in Asheville. Mm. I mean, Asheville ain't even in the ballpark with some of this stuff, but it looks like Skid Row. It looks like places in Austin, places in Dallas, where they are literally, and these are some very tropical looking people, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You can get away with that right now in the summer, but I'm wondering what on earth are they going to do with these people in the winter? Because, I mean, half of them, if you're looking at them, well, y'all can't see it right now, but William's looking at some of the video right now. As you see them lined up on the sidewalk, okay, they all came from south of the border. I guess that, you know, the Texas governor, you put them on the first thing, smoking up to New York or Chicago, some of these other places. Mm-hmm. These are very, very tropical people, okay? I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of these folks look, you know, like they've come from, I don't know, Africa, somewhere like that. Okay, what do you think is going to happen when it turns winter?
It's not going to be good.
Like all the Mexicans.
Or they start breaking in. I don't know. It's not going to be a good scenario either way.
That's exactly what I'm getting at is we can't even feed the people that are indigenous to this country.
Yeah.
And we got people coming over and we're just like, hey, come on in. And here they are lined up on the sidewalk. I got news for you. You ain't sleeping on no sidewalk in New York City in the dead of winter. Especially,
in the fall.
Yeah, well, you got a point. Yeah. In the fall, you might be able to bundle up. But yeah, I think they're going to have a really, not them, but I think just about everywhere is going to have the crisis of a lifetime.
Yeah.
Because I'm seeing this stuff all over. I mean, pick a big city. Pick a small city.
Asheville's not a big city. It has a population of 70,000. That's the same as like Texarkana.
Yeah, but the thing about this city is that there is a high focus put on the homeless people eat better than most.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, good night, dude. I'm looking at some of the food I know these people are getting, and this is stuff, I'll put it this way. How do I say this without outing anybody? There are some very high-end restaurants where their overflow, and I'm talking bakeries as well, their overflow, because they get a tax write-off for it, goes to these shelters.
Yeah.
If y'all were able to see what I see, you would change places with them in a minute. It's that good. I mean, the food, we're talking some really high-end.
Yeah, especially we're talking, around here.
I'm dead serious. The people that are homeless eat better than the people who have really, really awesome jobs. So there's something to be said there. I mean, being homeless here ain't necessarily, you're going to eat pretty doggone well.
Yeah, the homeless here eat better than the people in DeKalb, Texas.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, well, they eat better than nearly everybody in Texas, for that matter. I mean that. I'm talking
except
really.
At least people in Texas can find barbecue.
Well, there is that. So some of the good news out there, and this is like weird kind of news. I don't know if you call it good news or not, but it's interesting. A lot of people want to know about this stuff. So it's becoming more commonplace. This came from Natural News. Intelligence officer turned whistleblower reveals U.S. government found non-human biologics at crash site, but the Pentagram actually covered it up.
Yeah.
Well. All right. So.
I saw a meme talking about something similar to this. It was saying, I wanted to believe in UFOs and then the government, or I wanted to believe in aliens and then the government said they were real.
Don't believe anything until it's officially denied. I mean, that's where I think a lot of people are going, myself included. But when I'm looking at this, I'm like, You people are talking, okay, we're getting some overflow here.
Yeah, I think Dad's iPad's playing here.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. So anyway, let me see if I can get rid of that.
I don't think they can hear it, Dad.
Okay, well, I'll just turn this thing down. I don't even know where it was coming from.
Yeah.
Point I'm getting at, we got human life on this planet that nobody cares about. Whether it's the people on the streets of New York City or whether it's these kids being sold into child sex trafficking. But we could sit here and give some stories about aliens. But the thing that floors me is like there is a collective yawn.
Yeah,
over the entire topic. I mean, it's like
nobody cares at this point.
Yeah, I mean, unless they land on their front porch, I think everybody's just like, you can't get anybody to really care about anything. Or they're saying, look, man, it's all I can do to put bread on the table right now. I want to eat like a homeless person in Asheville, North Carolina. Yeah. That's what a lot of people are saying right now. And at this point, I've sat here scratching my head wondering, and I'm starting to get a little more sympathetic because as I stopped to realize that right now people are having a really hard time putting food on the table. I just went to the grocery store today to get something for your mom on the way home. And I'm talking like this little measly two bags is $100.
What'd you get?
I mean, just basic stuff that your mom needed. And we're sitting here scratching my head like, how does a person on a fixed income do this?
Yeah.
How does a person, even on welfare, how do you do it? How does anybody, I'm noticing that a lot of restaurants anymore, we know a lot of people in the restaurant business. Nobody's going out to eat right now. I'm starting to wonder, by the time fall rolls around, I'm wondering, good night. How are any of these people going to keep the doors open when things are getting outrageous, but we got all this, we got money to send to Ukraine to go murder people. We got money to send to all these different, to Iraq, Afghanistan, you name it, to go murder people all the way back, Vietnam, okay? Korea. We got all this money to go send weapons and warfare all throughout this planet, but we got people out here in America that are being thrown on the streets, you know, because they can't find a job. But we got jobs. We could pay for the people in Ukraine, we could pay their retirement accounts. But meanwhile, we got grandma out there flipping a coin, whether or not she's going to eat cat food for the day or take her necessary heart medication. So when they go on about these UFO stories, man, I'm of the mindset like, all right, unless they're coming with a wagon of food,
yeah,
man, I don't think anybody's really caring. But what blows my mind is the collective yawn, because had this come out 5 years ago, people probably would have paid attention. I think people are just so numb right now.
I think
now.
Everybody's just saying like, okay, 5 years too late. Nobody cares at this point. They probably have found out more information from the podcast that they listen to than anything they're going to find out on whatever the Pentagon is releasing. So the audiences probably know more about UFOs than what the Pentagon is.
That's why I'm calling it good news. That's why I'm going to put that in the good news category. Just because I think some people are starting to wake up. And I think people are thinking, okay, well, you know, if it came from Johnny down the street, I might buy it. Or Sally up around the block, I might buy it. But these people lie about the lies they lie about.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, that's why I'm calling that good news, because really, you drop a bomb like that and everybody's like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll wait till George Norrie tells me about it. Then maybe I'll pay attention. All right, some other good news. Now, this is bad. This is in that bad good news category as well. Mutilated detransitioner from Texas sues doctors for $1 million over coerced trans surgeries. I don't think that's enough. I'm not the litigious type, but I think every last one of these doctors doing this stuff. I mean, folks, let me just try to tell you something right off the bat. MD does not mean medical deity.
It doesn't even mean they're intelligent.
No, it just meant that many of them, and I'm not saying all of them out there, but some of the dumbest people I ever knew in my life were MDs.
Yep.
I mean, when I say dumb, could have more degrees in a thermometer, but had no common sense regarding some of the most basic things on this planet.
Don't believe me? Ask a nurse.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I mean, there's many a doctor out there that can memorize some pages in a book, pass a test, whatever, look at the physician's desk reference, and now here they are doing transgender surgeries on somebody who's just having a bad week. Yeah, sue them into oblivion. And honestly, for what they're doing, it's absolutely unconscionable. And for those of you out there that are going to say, oh, they're doctors, they're saving. Well, you know what? Joseph Mengele was a doctor. Stanley Gottlieb was a doctor. Dr. Jolyon West, guess what? MD. You know how many people, those people, those three alone have killed? Do I need to go on? Because I could. You know how many doctors out there have knowingly murdered millions? Anthony Fauci was a doctor, is a doctor. Yeah, MD doesn't mean anything to me. And in fact, in many cases, it stands for mighty dumb. With that said, we're going to go into the break, come back with the topic.
They call you a side because what they assume is I'm paid opposition because I see things like Andrew Tate is a spook. To me, it's easy to see like tearing down women ain't built.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Yep. I think he said it all right there. All right, y'all. $50 off promo code PERMA from EMP Shield. Remember, your most devastating threat out there. Well, I was going to say lightning, but these days, man, it looks like we're doing everything we can to try to start World War III. You know, that, as a side note, Russia's saying, look, don't be dropping any depleted uranium over here like you did and poison Iraq for the next 100,000 years, you know, with depleted uranium in the water supply. Don't think you're coming over here. Okay, you drop your uranium on us, we're going to drop some on you, is basically their response. So you might want to think about some of that. Yeah. Yeah, it won't be depleted. Well, it'll be depleted when they're done. But anyway, if you're concerned about that sort of thing, think about EMP Shield. Also, they have the best deal out there when it comes for transient voltage surge suppression, lightning strikes, things like that. If you get hit, look, they're going to cover you up to 25 Gs. There ain't another company out there giving you that kind of protection on lightning. And that's why I reached out to EMP Shield. Promo code PERMA. Go check it out. All right. So the main topic right now is the chicken tractor on steroids. Yeah. And the reason why I don't know what happened. It must have been something in the water. So between Patreon, emails, you name it, a number of people have been asking, hey, are you going to fire this thing back up again? Well, we just basically retired it for the summer because we had other things in mind. We have other plans and we don't like to publicly announce them a lot of times because it's not that I'm worried about competition. It's just things we've spoken about before wind up on somebody else's YouTube channel. And, you know, they just happened across the same idea at exactly the same time we talked about it. So we got other irons in the fire that we're not actually talking about right now. So we were going to put the brakes on the chicken tractor on steroids. And then it occurred to me, do I want to go ahead and kick it back? This time do it with some of those breasties.
Yeah.
And so I'm still kind of weighing that out. Maybe do the new iteration of it. But we've taken that system about, now it's a sublime system. It works great. We've taken it about as far, I mean, is there anything we haven't done in it?
Tested the compost afterwards. It would be worth it just to test the compost afterwards.
Yeah, Eric was saying that very same thing, but we don't have it kicking right now. And we've done so much in terms of playlists that we're feeling like, okay, if anybody wants to replicate it. Now, as like I said, when I need more meat, when I need more chicken, believe it or not, despite what you may think, we don't eat a whole lot of chicken around here. At least I don't.
No.
We eat mostly beef and some pork, but usually it's really not lamb. A whole lot of chicken. Yeah, I'll eat lamb. I mean, I'll eat anything. Chicken, my mom ruined me of that on the way. I mean, I remember my dad had to say, come on, man, can we eat something besides chicken? Good night, man. I mean, do we have to fill all the stereotypes? So, I mean, yeah, so chicken, man, is not my, yeah, it's not, I know, shocker right there, huh? Yeah, but it's not my favorite meat. But we do have a freezer full. So we go through it and we get, you know, and plus, it's really good for bone broth and stuff like
that's
that.
That's what it's usually mostly used for.
Well, the old chickens anyway. Yeah, so the other ones, whenever I'm smoking stuff on the grill, or, you know, we got some smoked chicken up there, we still got to...
bone broth, not bone sauce, y'all.
Yeah, yeah.
To make that clear distinction.
Well, anyway, Lisa was a number. She was one of many out there. Just all came in at exactly the same time. I figured I better do a show on it. The chicken tractor on steroids. Let me just go ahead and kind of read what she has here. It's rather lengthy, so I'll try to condense it a little bit. Loving the YouTube channel. We will be getting meat chickens this fall and we'll be likely using your chicken tractor on steroids if I can get the composting part of it to sort it out beforehand. The hub is not really trusting this yet, and frankly, I'm confused. We are homesteading in northeast high desert of White Mountains, Arizona, and I want to overcome this confusion around getting our chickens composting our stuff. Here are the materials we have to work with. Donkey poop from two donkeys over a month worth. Restaurant leftovers, unfortunately, almost all coffee grounds and eggshells. We currently have a 3x30 gallon barrelfuls and really don't understand how to work with it. Chicken coop litter from 4 to 6 ladies built up over 4 months. That's some good stuff, possibly. Yeah. We could weed whack grasses from the land. Another restaurant gives us buckets of salad bar leftover. What else? Minimal food scraps for us. Yeah, they have 5 dogs. Tons of juniper tree needles and small branches, particularly one. Okay. Cardboard that can be processed as needed. I feed the chickens fermented wheat berries and sometimes wild bird feed in the morning. And they free range on our property without boundaries, but stay in the circle we live in. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and kick it from there. She says, for snacks, they get BOS, whole wheat, mealworms, and a lot of other things. Okay, so there's a lot more here. She also bought a lot of comfrey and wondering what's up on that. Look, there's a whole lot in here, man. We're going to try to get to as much of this as we can as the main topic. So, Sam, why don't you give them a rundown real quick for the people that don't know what the chicken tractor on steroids actually is?
The chicken tractor on steroids is you have a mobile chicken coop. It can be stationary as well. And then you have a feeding ring in right in front of that chicken coop, right where they come out. And then you layer the bottom of it, bottom third about, with a carbon source. That could be straw, that could be hay, that could be wood chips, whatever your carbon source, bamboo leaves, and whatever your carbon source is. And then every day you feed your chickens on top of that, they eat, and then you cover that up at night with carbon. And then you do the same thing over and over until the end of the week. And then you take everything in that ring, flip it out, compile a new ring with the same material or the same method that you did the week before. And then everything at the end of every week just flips down the system. And then at the end of 30 days, you have a finished compost pile. We think we need to test it. I think we should do it and test the compost.
Yeah, well, to help out, we know the compost. I know that it's good compost. I'm good enough at it where I can look at it. If you really, it takes, look, I ain't going to lie. And we said it before. This is a maintenance intense kind of system. If you think you're going to do a laissez-faire to anybody out there that thinks you're going to do this and then just do it the old laissez-faire kind of way, it ain't going to work.
No.
It requires a fair amount of elbow grease, so you better be wanting to get in shape. Now, at one time, by myself, I was handling 3 different ones at the same time by myself. And believe me, that is quite a workout, especially when you're doing it in the middle of summer in Texas. It requires a fair amount of water because this stuff is open to the rain or depending on where you live. Now, before you even get into it, you really ought to have at least a good handle on composting. I think that's critical.
Yeah, I would try the composting, the 18-day compost method. So, yeah, check out that playlist. Try the 18-day compost method. All your questions as far as what to do with the coffee grounds, what to do for your carbon source, all that stuff is going to be answered in that 18-day compost playlist. Figure that out first. You're going to have to restrict your chickens. You're going to have to put up fence for them. You can't have them free-ranging anymore because you want to direct their efforts on that compost pile. And anytime you feed them, it's going to be in that compost ring. Like, you're going to have to develop discipline as well for this system.
Yeah, this is not the kind of system. I've never ever been a fan of free ranging chickens ever.
I can't think of a time where it makes sense unless you don't have access to fence.
Unless you're on wide acreage, you have a lot of livestock guardian dogs that can really look after them. Joel Salatin system.
Yeah, that would work.
You know, where it's something like that where it works, but outside of that, for most homesteads, if you're not working on wide acreage and you're going behind a bunch of cattle, it really doesn't make sense to free range anything. So within this system, you know, you got to get 164 foot net or put some, and usually get that from Premier One. So you're going to need that right off. Like William said, you're going to need a mobile coop. Right now we're using that Chickshaw design.
Well, you can do a stationary version as well.
Right.
Eric Sider, he has a version on his YouTube channel, and so does Jeff Lawton.
Right. Where and you could scale this down or up.
Yeah.
Instead of putting it out once a week, you know, maybe you get it once a month. So this thing can be entirely scaled up or down as needed. So like William said, check out Eric Sider. And if you want the regular version that Jeff Lawton originally came up with, which, by the way, I need to give a shout out to Jeff Lawton because it was his intellectual property. So if you want that, we have all the playlists you could ever ask for right there at the website or at the YouTube channel.
Yep.
But regarding, let's go in specifically and talk about what she's got here. So donkey poop, I'm trying to say Donkey Kong, donkey poop from two donkeys. Okay. Well, those donkeys, if you're giving them any kind of dewormer,
yep,
that's going to be a problem. So, and most people, when they have any kind of equine, whatever, that's usually a problem.
And also, if you're feeding them hay that's been sprayed with Grazon, that'll probably be a problem as well.
Now, if you do the right composting method, that could be possibly neutralized, but I wouldn't take the chance. Okay, so restaurant leftovers. Unfortunately, most are all coffee grounds and eggshells. You can use those, but you're going to have to cut it with other carbon. You're going to have to cut that with carbon.
Yeah, you're going to have to use that very sparingly as well, because it's going to be like the coffee grounds act as a high nitrogen in there. They act as not high nitrogen, but bacteria food.
Yeah, and it all depends on the state in which that coffee is. Now, if it's already been used, it's going to be in a different spectrum as to, how many people are throwing away coffee they didn't use, you know?
Well, right, yeah.
So, yeah, but either way, yeah, that's going to be, you want to be real sparing with some of that stuff. If you want to know more about composting, we've done a series and we're going to continue to do it over on Patreon.
Or if you're on Instagram, only pimps.
Yeah. So we started a little joke there. We'll see how it goes. Okay. So chicken litter so I would first, before you even think to get into this, like William said, I'd work on that 18-day compost or go check us out over on Patreon. And look at another, get your composting down, I think, before you go kicking this thing off.
Yeah.
Because you don't yet know what good compost is supposed to look like until you make good compost.
Yeah. So you don't know what it's supposed to smell like. You don't know what the structure is supposed to look like. You don't know what it's supposed to feel like, really. You don't realize that there's supposed to be a residue on your hands afterwards until you make good compost.
Right. And this takes a little bit of doing. So I would first, before you even think about a chicken tractor on steroids, I would just learn to be really competent. We've taught an 18-day Berkeley method, and then over on Patreon, we also have this other method that we're teaching from Dr. Elaine Ingham, but we also provide, we shoot into it other composting knowledge from people like the genius Jeff Lawton. So regarding some of the other stuff you got here, weed whack grasses from the land. Okay, that's going to be nitrogen, but where you live, where you're saying you're in the White Mountains of Arizona, I wonder how many carbon sources you have out there. That's probably going to be one of the harder things that you have. Now, if you're getting salad bar leftovers, that's exactly what you want to have.
Yeah.
It depends on what's in that salad bar too, but I mean, I would
still go with it because it's still going to be, like anything in there is going to be mostly the fruiting food. Body of whatever. Yeah, but also chicken food.
Right.
But it's going to be your good, high nitrogen greens and stuff. And especially where you are, most of your stuff is going to be, if you have plants, they're probably very high in carbon.
Our claim to fame into this thing is being able to figure out a way of making the system work without having the benefit of a bunch of cow poop. So this is why it's important to look at the playlist. But in a nutshell, here's where the chickens and having them in this system can be really advantageous. Like William said, you start off with a little bit of carbon. Well, imagine you take those restaurant wastes. You put them down first. Okay, what the chickens don't eat is going to be a nitrogen layer.
Yep.
So they're also, as they're eating, they're going to be pooping in that cage as well. At the end of that day, you're going to throw down some more carbon. And then you repeat that same process for a week. And then believe it or not, when you're a day into that system, you'll already feel it heating up depending on whether or not your moisture's right. Now, you're in Arizona, and I'm guessing a high desert where you are. I'm not entirely sure. Well, you're saying White Mountains, Arizona, so I'm guessing that's high desert.
Probably.
So you're going to have a serious evaporation problem. I'll be honest with you. Maybe, just maybe, the chicken tractor on steroids is not necessarily the dog you want to take to that hunt. You may want a chicken run on steroids.
Right. So if you, that's where that Jeff Lawton video is going to come in handy, because they also replicate it down in Jordan, which is a low altitude desert, but still evaporation is an issue there. Maybe even less so than White Mountains, Arizona.
That's why I'm thinking maybe if this is, you could still raise your meat birds if all you have, it's hard to say without actually saying it.
Yeah.
But if you put me out there and I'm going to ask myself, does it make sense to do a chicken tractor on steroids in that environment? I don't know that it does. Now, I don't, there's so many variables we don't have because we can't see it. But generally, I'm going to opt to not do that system there because of the high water requirement that it's going to need.
Yeah.
Unless it's covered, unless you can maintain that moisture, you're going to be putting a whole lot of water on there. So as far as fattening up your meat birds, believe it or not, you could do exactly the same thing. Do it. You could do a deep bedding
right.
system
yeah, you could.
With meat birds. There's no reason you couldn't do that and just throw down some carbon every day.
Yeah.
Feed them in the restaurant scraps. Crap. Yeah, I'm not sure what restaurant you're getting it from. Now for snacks, oats, mealworm. Okay, so that's going to make a hotter compost for you. When you give that many inputs to a chicken, it's going to make a hotter compost that's coming out, or a higher nitrogen content that's coming out of their back end. So it could potentially be balanced when they eat a vegetable diet and, you know, the bugs they get. But when you start feeding them a lot of high octane stuff, their manure is going to be a little bit hotter. So, so that's something to consider as well. So folks, at the end of the day, I'm going to direct you back. Go watch Eric Sider's work on chicken tractor on steroids.
Right.
His version of it. Go look at Jeff Lawton's. Look at ours. Check out the work of Carl Hammer. You're going to have to look, because I don't know everybody's specific requirements. But if you're asking me, in the high desert, that's not the, for me, that is not the dog I'm going to take to the hunt. I would probably raise my meat birds in the high desert. Probably with a deep bedding system, because I'm going to retain a lot more moisture.
Yep.
I can compost it when I want to. I'll have a foot of litter, very little smell. I would have a foot. That's the method I would go with.
Yeah.
Provided I can agree. Get myself a fair piece. And then I'd have that stuff 2 feet thick.
Yeah. Or otherwise you're probably going to have to water every day, because the chickens are going to be knocking down that pile every single day, exposing it to the air, to the wind, to the heat, to the sun, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. So everybody out there, if you're thinking about doing this, look, I know that's what we do, but we live in a temperate rainforest. Now, it can be done in just about every environment, but you got to also consider, do I have the water? Because you're dealing with compost piles. You're either going to have too much water or not enough. Very seldom is it just right. And it takes... This is why that is a very advanced system. If you don't understand how composting works, yeah. If you don't know what good compost is supposed to look like, I used to recommend this to everybody. I don't anymore, but I do. This is one of those systems, y'all, that can literally feed the world. It really could. But
this is also the benefit of getting a consultation, period. It doesn't have to be from me. It doesn't have to be from Eric, but it just getting a consultation from somebody who has experience with permaculture, because they know which tools. Like, you might see something on YouTube and you don't have much experience with permaculture and you think, oh, I'll go ahead and attempt that, not knowing that there's a whole set of variables that are different in that environment than in your environment.
And you
so there might be a better route to go if you just, you know,
that's a very good point.
Hire the help.
That is an excellent point, son, because honestly, people don't know the full range of the toolbox that's available at them. Because honestly, if I were in a high desert, or any desert for that matter, chicken tractor on steroids is not the method I'd be using. I would be using a deep litter method, because I'm going to retain a lot more moisture in that system. It's going to require less of me. And then when I do get to the point where I have enough material where maybe I want to do a Johnson Soup bioreactor, maybe I want to do an 18-day compost, maybe I want to leave that litter in there long enough to where the bottom part's actually composting in place.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I want to move them off of there and take that area. Maybe it makes a good growing medium if you leave them long enough. So that's exactly why you want to, like William said, you really do want a second set of eyes on there, especially from somebody who has full access of all the toolboxes out there, because it just may, and honestly, what are your physical capabilities? Can you flip those piles?
That's probably one of the biggest factors in a consultation is like what, like I can fully design this whole 100 acres to be, you know, to produce the maximum amount for 100 acres. But if it's just you working it, then you need to like scale way back and it's a different kind of production.
And that's why if you don't have a whole lot of time to devote to something like this now, one day a week, every single one of those piles, that tractor is going to move. Yep. In the method we use, that tractor is A, it's going to move. Number two, every pile has to be flipped. If it needs water, well, guess what? That's a fair amount of time.
Yeah.
You're looking for one person. I timed it before, and I'm talking, y'all, I'm not a lazy person. I'm talking one guy doing every last bit of that, and that's knowing what I'm doing. On a good day without having to add water, you're looking for an hour, maybe 2 hours by yourself.
Yeah, it depends. I would say it depends.
You're looking at least a cubic yard of material that you're trying to move by yourself. And then if you need to water, well, you're not moving compost. You're putting water in a pile, then adding more. Look and see if this is the best system for you. Now, I would say, I will say unequivocally, this system alone, all by itself, could feed the entire world if we had enclaves mm-hmm. of communities doing it. Not everybody's going to go out there and do it by themselves. In that same system, okay, so what are the benefits before we consider the liability? I'm going to tell you right off is having access to things you can put in there. Now, it could be stuff on the farm, things you grew. I mean, I fed Comfrey by the armloads on that thing.
Oh, yeah.
No problem at all. Now, where are your resources coming from? Do you have a source of carbon? Do you have a source of food scraps that can maintain these birds? Because we had both. What are your physical capabilities? Do you have the time during the week to put in the work? Because if you do, yes, the liability is that there's a lot of physical demand for this, but what are the net benefits? For me, they outweigh the physical liabilities. So within this system, if I wanted indefinitely, I could be hatching out chicks
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Yeah, for
pulling
sure.
out the mature birds, putting them in the freezer, and then replacing them with the new chicks that are coming up, integrate them into the flock. So you have a never-ending meat supply. You have a never-ending
compost and egg supply.
Yes. So that compost is growing your veggies, which is feeding you all your carbs, and that compost is also growing the eggs and the meat, because that's where they're getting their protein. They're eating the biota, the microorganisms out of that pile. But they're reproducing faster than the chickens. That's why you want a big pile. There's a lot to learn there. So I'm not turning you off from it. I'm just going to say that with the benefit of hindsight, a lot of people just don't have the physical prowess to be able to do a system like this, and certainly not to do it long term, because you're looking 16 weeks, depending on the bird you have, okay? When I use dual-purpose birds, I'll process at about 15 to 16 weeks. And I don't let them go any longer because any roosters you have in that system are going to start acting like roosters right at about 16 weeks.
Right.
And then you're going to have fighting, and you're going to have a bunch of nonsense carrying on.
A deep bedding method might be better for you, and you just make an 18-day compost pile out of it afterwards.
Get good at that.
Yeah.
It's probably your best thing. So if you don't understand composting, if you don't understand chickens, if your experience so far is 4 to 6 birds, I would highly recommend looking at some other methods and then lean into it when you're going to be able.
Yep.
There's probably a lie like the rest. I've been took the red pill, but looking at the blue pill, fake steak tastes the best. But I'm looking for those pockets. Those pockets, the ones that think like me. But I'm looking for those pockets. Those pockets.
It almost sounds like a Sade song.
What?
Sade is whatever they call that. This is, well, son, it's probably before your time. It was some some girl, Sadie. It was spelled Sadie, but everybody said Sade. I don't even know what the girl's name is, but that's what I'm thinking about when I hear that song. Huh. Speaking of the song, want to give a shout out to Van Tesla. Thank you very much for the music.
Yep.
Particularly Joel Thomas of Kill the Mockingbirds podcast. A lot of good entertainment over there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, before we get into the Q&A, y'all, Harvestrite freeze dryers, we got links down below. That thing is running pretty much nonstop in the harvest season around here, even when it ain't, because we got a lot of stuff going on. All right, right into your Q&A. I'm going to start with Ryan. Fellas, just thought about the smoke from up in Canada. Here in Ohio, there are air quality alerts and warnings. And it was suggested that everyone is advised to stay inside. Sounds similar to COVID. They say stay inside for your own. I mean, good night, man. Here we are again. Sounds like the elementary teacher yelling to their class, we're not pimping, we're simping. I mean, good night. Stay inside. Look, y'all, I'm not believing anything they tell
me. The thing about it is that might be a logical thing to do, like, depending on what's actually up in that atmosphere. You know what I mean? Like, it might be a good idea. Like, if it's heavy smoke, but it's not smoke and it's actually something else, it might be a good idea to, who knows what they're burning up there, even if they, like, somebody was commenting on that one Instagram reel we had that everybody lost their minds over. Somebody commented, like, he heard there were lithium mines on fire up there.
Who even knows? I mean, I'm, okay, you take people like Naomi Wolf, historically not what anybody would ever call a conspiracy theorist. She's like, I grew up in California. She just recently said this in an interview, I think, with Seth Holthouse. I grew up in California, saw wildfires all the time. The sky did not look like what they tell me is going on up here. So I'm not believing it. They can tell me whatever. Until I go up there and I see it for myself, I'll be up in Canada sometime in September. I'm going to go looking for wildfires.
Oh, before I get into this one, if you're wanting a consultation out west, like New Mexico or Arizona, the deadline for that is going to be the end of the week. So make sure you email me at permapasturesfarm@gmail.com. And the deadline is at the end of the week for this round. Got one from, I want to say, Johnny or Joni, 12868 on the Fountain app. This is pertaining to the staying cool in hot weather episode we just did. More history, Billy. Love it. How about the Harlem Hellfighters, the most decorated unit in World War I? Oh, and they were wearing the Southern Don't Tread on Me symbol fighting with French Army because the American did not know what to do with them. So any simp think that the flag is racist, they should just brush up on their German-killing black history.
Yeah, they did. There's a lot. You know, I'm glad you brought up World War I because that's one of my... Man, I do a lot of, I've been doing so much research. When I say research, y'all, I kid you not, when I'm going to bed at night, believe it or not, what I find light reading before I go to bed is actually research. This is when I do all my history study. And World War I, man, if you haven't been to that National Museum in Kansas City, just go there knowing full well they're lying to you every step of the way. I've been in that place more times. I mean, and then there's a whole lot. I'd love to take Joel Thomas there and just walk around that place.
Oh, yeah.
All the weird symbology and everything about it. It's an underground museum. And there's a lot of weird stuff in terms of symbology around there.
He might already know about it because of all the symbolism around there.
Yeah, I would love to. If you know what? If we go after that treasure we talked about, it's near there. So maybe we can get Joel to
maybe we can buy it.
Well, we'll see about it. We'll see how much treasure there is. Yeah. Anyway, that's one of the things I've been really, really looking forward to because I'm going back and I'm looking at this. Every historical account about what really happened in World War I has been a lie, and it's the occulted history regarding not only that, World War II. In fact, I dare say, man, I could really go down some rabbit holes right now regarding all the way back to the American Revolution. Everything we've been told, like the Charles Thompson, I'm not going to get into it. Man, I really want to go down this whole.
Let's just dedicate an episode to it.
We'll have to do it sometime, but it's really not what people are listening to right now.
Well, Dad, how many comments have we had saying, yeah, do more history?
Yeah, we could do more. Maybe I'll just carve out a piece and do it like a bonus episode and talk about some of this stuff that's very occulted that nobody ever talks about, things about the founding fathers you didn't know, things you'll never hear, and the reason why it's relevant to you today. Things that I think I might just go ahead and put something together for that. And we'll call it a bonus episode. And it's going to be, you know, and that way for the people who aren't really tuning in for that sort of thing, you know, you'll get a heads up on that. You won't necessarily check it out. All right. So Casey says, I'm interested in watching the new videos that you have that you've done about composting on Patreon, but I don't want to subscribe to Patreon. Is there any way I could pay for it without Patreon? Unfortunately, that's the only place we have them right now, but we are getting our website, that jacked up website we have, it's being replaced. And it's in the middle of being done right now. So we're hoping that with this new platform, that's one of the things we're hoping to get away from, is either having the ability to host this sort of thing on our own website or going to something like Locals, where I'm sick and tired of people playing games. Like every once in a while, I'm very attentive to what's happening on a Patreon. But for some reason, I won't find out for 5 days and I find out I'm the only one that's happening to.
Yeah, the issue, though, is that we need the website to be finished before we make a decision as to whether or not it's going to be on the website or Locals. Because people are just going to be dropping like flies if we continue to switch over and over again.
Yeah, so we're going to try to make it a permanent fix as best we can, especially in these crazy times.
Got one from Melodious on the Fountain app. I live in the Houston area. I know you advise getting bare root trees and planting in the fall. I plan to start grafting. Thank you for the inspiration in one of your videos this fall. Would it be better to graft and plant all on the same day in autumn, or start grafting now and plant when it cools down, or even plant the rootstock in fall then graft in the spring? If I want to propagate cuttings, is it also best done in the autumn? I'm planning to try figs and a friend will give me cuttings.
All right, I'm going to give you a resource instead of answering all that specifically. I'm going to tell you to read Trees of Power by Akiva Silver. He's going to cover a lot of that in there. And plus, it's really, if anybody has any interest in growing trees or grafting or any of that stuff,
yeah,
go check out the work of Stefan Sipkowiak, one of my heroes. I hope to get to meet him very soon.
Also Flemington Famous.
Flemington Famous, yeah. That's his shtick. I mean, I can give you answers to all that stuff, but I would very much prefer that you have a constant reference. Now, as far as, I'm not going to cover the grafting right now because there's a whole lot in that question, but I will say generally, we like to do all of our planting in the fall, and that's on the basis of the work done at Oklahoma State by Dr. Carl Whitcomb. I was directed to him actually by Stefan Sipkowiak, and you find out that it is just the dumbest thing in the world for these nurseries to sell. I know why they do it, but spring is not the best time to grow your trees.
No.
You want a small tree. Don't get a big tree. You want a small tree that can adapt to where it is. It's going to outcompete the bigger one in a couple of years anyway. And the cool thing is that it's putting down all the necessary roots. It's not going to get blown over. It's going to get it's going to get everything it needs in the high winds and the weird rains, all those things. That's why you want a small tree. Don't be impatient. Just wait. You'll be glad you did.
Yep. You got...
Yeah, Matthew. Okay. He says, I don't live far from the town you're in, and I'm wondering about that ice cream place. the ice cream place that I'm talking about is called...
Meadow Sweet Creamery.
Yes. Look, if there's better ice cream on this planet, I don't know about it, because that fig and goat cheese, man, that is... Look, y'all.
Okay, this explains all of it right here. They're ice cream cookies. They make a specific cookie for the ice cream in that sandwich.
Okay, that's a point right there.
that's all you need to know.
Now, those cookies usually are more like the wafer type.
It depends on the cookie. Right. It depends on what you get.
Right. It depends on what it is. The cookie, that is a very good point, yeah. Son. They care so much that, in fact, I mean, she is so absolutely devoted to doing the former pharmacist that runs that place, or maybe she still is a pharmacist, but I know maybe she's not anymore. I don't know. She and her husband, Andrea and Michael, they run this place. And I'm here to tell y'all, if there's a better ice cream out there, I don't know about it. Small batches, if they can't get the right ingredient, I mean, if it is not the perfect ingredients, because you're thinking, okay, how hard could it be to get goat cheese and figs to make some ice cream? If it ain't on point, they ain't making it.
Yeah, and it's on point.
And they don't cut corners. There is not anything I've ever had out of that place. Even some of the more off the beaten path kind of flavors
mm-hmm.
are still off the meat wagon. Man, they went to Spain for crying out loud to go see how they did their ice cream. So, yeah, Meadowsweet Creamery. There's even some places around here that are selling their stuff. But, man, I would highly recommend you go there. Tell them Billy sent you at Permapastures Farm. And, you know, when strawberry season rolls back around again, we'll be definitely hooking them up. We were going to give them more, but, man, we just got sideways. I know they did some sorbets with some of that strawberry.
Got one on the YouTube channel, Permaculture Pimpcast. Check it out there. Hey, pimps, I have about half acre field of thick goldenrod. The sheep won't eat it, so I've resorted to mowing it down for the sheep after the sheep come through. Should I, all right. Should I just keep grazing it, or should I seed it with cowpea and buckwheat to snuff it out? I'm thinking about grazing it this winter. Thank you.
Okay, so
that wasn't my fault. Hold on. So he has a bunch of goldenrod. The sheep won't eat it. He's thinking about mowing it down. Should he just keep grazing it and seed cowpea and buckwheat, or he's thinking about bale grazing it this winter? I guess rolling out a bale and then grazing over the top of it.
Here's what I'd do. I mean, I'm just telling you what I would do and what I've done. Okay, in your particular situation, first of all, our sheep will eat that goldenrod. If there ain't nothing else there, they'll eat it.
Yeah.
Now it's not it's not what they want.
They really like the new growth tips and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they will eat even some of the more mature stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, goldenrod is a clear example that your soil needs some help, but it sounds like you're on the right path of doing some of that. So if the sheep won't eat it and they ran through it, I would run it down, throw some buckwheat and cowpea in there. I'm not sure where you're located, but it's going to be getting long in the tooth for that stuff. If nothing else, it is going to start to. I've planted buckwheat and cowpea as late as September, even later, depending on the place. So you're not going to get a whole lot in there, but it's going to add at least a little bit of structure. And then when you run your sheep back through, maybe they eat that. Or maybe what I would do is exactly what I think you're doing, what you're talking about, is run some round bales over that stuff. Build some structure that way. Run your sheep back through. They're going to trample it in through mm-hmm. the winter. In fact, despite what many people believe, some of your best composting happens in the winter under your snow.
Well, the fastest composting they've ever recorded happens in the winter under the snow.
Yes. Believe it or not, that is where the fastest, that is part of, that's why that strategy works so exceptionally well. If you do get if you have litter down there and you can cover it up with snow, believe it or not, that stuff is breaking down faster than a rainforest.
Yeah.
And people still can't get their heads around that.
Yeah.
So that's one strategy to go about fixing that. So on my end, Donald sends this in this video, and I'm just going to kind of, he's saying basically the title of the email is basically the powers that shouldn't be, and it's an interview with Catherine Austin Fitz. If you don't know who that is, folks, check her out. She's basically screaming from the rooftops, basically everything we're saying on this podcast, but she's hitting it also from having worked at the highest echelons in government. And I think that was under the Reagan administration. It may have been under Clinton. I can't remember, but she was working in the finance, in areas of finance at the Treasury Department. And her work has been extraordinary on so many different levels. She's basically saying, get your house in order. Same thing we're telling you here. And it seems like the same exact thing that everybody's forgetting, which, by the way, son, on a side note, I was talking about Sam's and the rice there when I was there this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Nobody's buying it.
Nobody bought. There wasn't a single person there that had anything because I was walking around.
Yeah.
I was in there for, I don't know, some toilet paper and aluminum foil or something like that. Whatever your mom had me get. And, I'm like, I'm already here. Let me just kind of roll around and look in this place. As I'm looking, nobody had any. I was thinking, okay, with the rice announcements that came out, maybe there's some people in here getting it. Not one person. Rice was full to the brim.
Wow.
Everybody had prepared meals. And I'm looking, and I'm not trying to be creepy while I'm doing it, but I'm like, most of what people had were not things that were good for store. It's like freezer meals or stuff like that. And the thing that burns me up, look, ladies, when you get your sample of whatever they're giving away there, you don't have to have a conversation with them. You got 50 people behind you trying to get up there and sample the same garbage. First of all, maybe don't eat it.
It's worth exactly what you paid for.
Yeah.
They didn't give you the good cuts.
I'm
like, to sample.
I'm being held up. I'm being held up to get to the rice because there's 15 people waiting to get up here for a free sample. But for some reason, the guys will just go up here, snatch a couple of samples and move on.
Because we're grabbing a couple and we're trying not to get caught.
Yeah. So guys are grabbing the sample and move on. Ladies, don't have a conversation. Just grab it and move out.
Yep. Keep walking too, and that's the same as whenever you exit Sam's. Don't stop at the entrance.
That's another thing. Why do they ask you for your Sam's card to get in when you clearly can't check out without it?
I don't know.
And I'll tell you another thing. Oh yeah, now that I'm on my high horse. Yeah, I guess who ain't waiting in no lines at no Sam's Club?
Did you notice they put those ribbons or guard things?
Yep, that's all
things?
Because of me. And I blow right past it every single time. You're going to sit here. I paid for this stuff. It's my stuff. I paid for it. I'm walking out of that store, and I ain't going to be treated like some freaking criminal on the way out. So if y'all got me waiting more than 2 seconds, I'm going around.
As if you don't have facial recognition as we walk in.
Yeah. Every step of the way as you're checking out, they're sitting there looking at you anyway. Man, I don't know how many times they put up that little ribbons like keep people from blowing out. I just did it again. They sat there. I'm like, I will lift that ribbon and roll right through. I paid for this stuff. It's mine. You ain't going through my stuff. I'm not going to sit here and be treated like a criminal. You want to take my card? You do it. You do it. I don't care, but I'm not playing that game.
I got one from Special K on the YouTube channel. What is the electrolyte stuff you are taking, and what is the sodium content? I may want to try it. Where can it be purchased? Thanks. Always informative. I have no idea what the sodium content is, but it's enough. I think it depends on how many drops you take, but it's like
that's the stuff you're using. If you use that stuff for Mike, man, it's called snake juice, man. They gave me the recipe,
but
I don't have it handy right now.
If you want to try it, they also sell like single serve packets. It's called LMNT, Elements, but it's spelled LMNT. I would try that out. It's all online. You can find it.
Be sure also that, remember, folks, if you're out there fasting, you might want to consider some electrolytes because it makes all the difference in the world. Yep. Don't be the dummy I was when I tried that long-term thing without it. All right, from Strider, just wanted to say I got an Amazon package heading your way. It should be there Wednesday or Thursday, Lord willing. We've had some technical difficulties funding my fountain wallet, so hopefully the package is a good substitute for the pimp. Well, thank you so much, Strider.
Yep.
Yeah, also curious if you mailed out the coasters.
Yeah, Mom and I talked about that the morning. We're mailing yours out tomorrow, I guess.
Why didn't it already get mailed out?
I have no idea. I thought it got handed. I don't know. I put them down on the table, and one of them got sent, but yeah, it'll get sent out.
Yeah, sorry, Strider. Apparently things got lost in translation around here.
Got one from RE 1100. Goodness, I love this podcast. I used to listen to dozens of different podcasts. Now I just listen to one and get the gospel, preparedness, and homesteading all in one location.
Bam!
Not to mention comedy. Y'all funny as heck.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I mean, we're trying. I'll be honest with you. We're just trying to be it. For anybody who's considering getting in this podcast space or YouTube or whatever the case may be, one of the hardest things to do is finding your voice in here, finding what you feel like you're comfortable with. You know, I've always been, well, not always. I mean, I've done radio before, so getting William trained up on it took a little bit of time, but he's got it down. But also trying to find out where you're losing your way, where you don't want to be, I know what's going on in the world, but so do you. And so it's not my job, I think, to sit here and go nonstop into the bad stuff, which is easy to do. It's kind of what Eric's tip of the day was all about. That's why I'm glad he's doing the tip of the day, because now it makes me reformat my own brain. And so that's exactly what we ought to be doing. And hopefully, it's a real blessing out there. But folks, don't forget to give us a 5-star review in any platform you're checking us out.
Yep.
You got any more there?
Got one more from Carlene, 2728. Yes, Billy, 2001, A Space Odyssey.
That's what it was. Yeah, that's in reference last. Yeah, so Hal. Yeah, that's what I thought it was. It's been forever and a day since I saw that.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, it's a freaky movie, but they were practicing. Depending on who you ask, some people would say Stanley Kubrick actually actually was the one that faked the moon landings, that he was responsible for doing it. A lot of good information on that, you know, whether he did or didn't. All I know is that footage is fake as a $3 bill.
Yeah. We know the footage is fake for sure.
I ain't saying you didn't go to the moon, but you didn't do it in that. especially when we went to the Smithsonian.
Man.
And I'm looking at that hunk of junk. I'm like, really?
How many people are supposed to fit in that?
Three.
Yeah. There was a person we went with who wouldn't fit in that.
Yeah. Yeah. There was my little niece couldn't have fit in that thing. So I'm like, come on, man. You're telling me three adult men fat sat in that thing. Ain't no way, no how.
You can't go to space in if I can push it over.
Well, you know what? Also,
that's gotta be a rule.
in the thing that landed on the moon, the hatch on that thing was supposed to be an actual replica. You couldn't get in and out of that thing without a backpack on. You know what I'm saying? You couldn't get in. And I'm like, come on, man. There's no dirt on the... I mean, boy, don't get me started on this, y'all. Hey, I better not go on down this road, because you only got one thing to do, and that's to stay alert.
Stay alive.